Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know. Written and read by Ranulph Fiennes. The Guinness Book of Records described me as the youngest posthumous baronet. This unwanted claim to fame came about because my father, another Ranulph, was killed during the Italian campaign in the Second World War, 4 months before my birth. In June 1943, he came home on leave and I was conceived. When he left, my mother was never to see him again. My grandmother, Florrie, had lost her elder son in the First World War. Now she had lost her younger son, and her husband had also died. So, as soon as the war was over, she decided to return to her own family in South Africa. My mother, three elder sisters, and I were wafted along in her wake. But soon after she died, in October 1950, we returned to England, and I was packed off to my new English prep school in a purple blazer and cap and grey flannels. About the time of my 12th birthday, my mother purchased St. Peter's Well, a long, low house on the edge of the village of Lodsworth in Sussex. Right across the front garden wall, as far as the eye could see, stretched a paradise of fields, valleys, and forest. The river Lod ran along the bottom of our valley. A month before our own arrival, a family of five settled in the hamlet of River, a mile from Lodsworth. Mr. Pepper ran a chalk pit at Amberley. There were two sons about my age and a daughter of nine, 3 years my junior, named Virginia. Common entrance exams came and went. I passed with just sufficient marks to make it into Eton. My mother, proud and delighted, drove me down, the Morris Minor laden with suitcases. At prep school, my baronetcy and my South African background had proved good for my street cred, but here baronets were trashy non-entities, eclipsed by a welter of earls, lords, and viscounts. I had been at Eton about a month when two older boys entered my room just before lunchtime. "They say that you're a tart, Fiennes. Did you know?" "What," I asked them, "is a tart?" But they giggled together and wouldn't tell me. Eventually I discovered that in Eton slang, a tart is a boy who sells himself for sexual activities in return for favours, be they in cash or kind. There could be no lower form of life. I didn't realise that any pretty boy at Eton is going to be labelled a tart, and that gossip is based not on what actually happens, but on what the gossipers would like to think has happened. My tormentors were unremitting. I seriously contemplated throwing myself off the bridge over the Thames, only restrained by the thought of making my mother suffer. Instead, I decided to cultivate a perpetual scowl and to join the school boxing team. But nothing could alter my girlish face. Boys had crushes on me, and the verbal torment continued. Fortunately, time was on my side. Each term brought a fresh crop of pretty faces to distract the gossips. Slowly, I began to enjoy one or two aspects of Eton life, especially after meeting Michael Denny, who was a prefect in Mr. Crusoe's house. Since neither Denny nor I was an experienced climber, it's difficult to conjure up exactly why we began to climb together, but somehow the partnership was formed. As a result, my last 18 months at Eton included a good deal of nocturnal excitement. There is nothing new about stegophily, a dictionary term for the practice of climbing buildings by night. The beauty of it is that the thrill of danger is present without the full visual impact of the drop below. Denny and I hoisted assorted dustbins or lavatory seats to various prized pinnacles, and watched with secret pleasure while steeplejacks with ropes and long ladders brought them back down again. As my time at Eton drew...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?